Well, good morning again. Thank you again to Emma and Nigel for worship. We do appreciate that. Spring is in the air. I trust that you're enjoying the lighter nights, and hopefully we can all meet together very soon as this lockdown comes to an end, hopefully God willing. We're going to take communion today together. I did remember it this week. So if you want to press the pause button, now's the time to press the pause button. Get yourself ready, and we'll take communion together. And remember, when we take these elements, you know, Jesus said himself, do this in remembrance of me. So this is a symbol that we can do together. We can bring our petitions to God. We can ask him to examine us afresh. The Bible says, examine yourselves to see that there's no sin within you. And we come before the Lord and we take of the elements. And he said, when he gave the bread, he said, take this as my body broken for you. So let's do that together. Father, we thank you for your body that's been broken for each one of us. We take this to remember the grace that you lavished upon us. In the same way, he took the cup and he said, drink this in remembrance of me, my blood that's shed for you. Father, we thank you for your blood that's been shed for each one of us, that covers us, protects us, enables us, anoints us, and brings us into your family. Amen. We are going to continue to look in Ephesians 6. I want to read Ephesians 6:10 again to us. And we're looking at the armour, the spiritual armour of God, which indicates we're in a battle, doesn't it? But the good news is this. We know what the end of the book says. We win. So that is good news. Amen. Finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armour of God, which indicates there's a fullness to the protection that God has for us. Put on the full armour of God so that you, which brings it to the individual, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place. And it's the breastplate of righteousness that we're just going to briefly talk about today. As I said last week and the week before, these may be foundational things that we've heard before on a regular basis, but I do think and I do believe that it's good for us to be reminded of the basics. Because as I gave that illustration of my friend who did the forward roll for 12 months, the basics become just so easy for him to do. He didn't even have to think about it. So let's be reminded afresh that we're in a battle. Let's be reminded afresh that God is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? Let's be reminded that we are more than conquerors through Christ, who delivered us, saved us, redeemed us, chose us, adopted us. Let's be reminded of these things. So last week we were speaking, and the week before, about the belt of truth. And without truth, everything else falls apart. And it's the same as that belt that goes round the waist of the Roman soldier. It holds everything together. Now, the breastplate of righteousness put it in place. Now, a breastplate was either, in those days, made of leather or of metal. And it was to protect this area, the top area of the body. And it's to be put in place, the Bible says. And if we think about what's behind that part of our body, it's our heart, isn't it? That's the most important part of our body to be protected in the sense. Without the heart pumping the blood around the body the way that it does, then it wouldn't we wouldn't be able to function, would we? And when we think about the heart, when we say things like, well, that was heartfelt, or he or she has a heart for that person, we're thinking with our heads. But when we talk about our hearts, it's where the seat of our emotions are, our soul, if you like. And it's where we start to feel and manifest the goodness of God, and we articulate it. So we say the heart, and that's why it needs to be protected. And God has given us a breastplate. And I just want to run through one or two scriptures just to articulate the importance of righteousness and what it is to be righteous. Now, in the Old Testament, in Genesis 15, starting at verse 6, it talks about Abraham. Now, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. What did he believe God about? It's about the sacrifice of his son. He was asked to do something which I trust that none of us would ever be asked to do. He was asked to sacrifice his son, even though God had given him a promise that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. And yet he trusted God at his word. He believed in his heart that even if his son died, God would make a way. And he did make a way, didn't he? If you read that story for yourselves, you'll see that he didn't sacrifice his son, but God provided. He was on the hill called "The Lord Provides," and he still provides today. But because he trusted God, it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, righteousness, when we hear about righteousness or to be righteous in a secular sense, so often it comes across as a negative. Oh, you are so righteous. In other words, the person is being demeaning and they're saying, you think you're full of yourself. But to be righteous really is to have a right standing, is to be right with. And we live in a time where so many are trying to be right with someone else. We want to look right. We want to say the right things. And in order to do that, in order to be right with someone, so let me give an example. Maybe I'll use myself. On my first date or my second date with my now wife, when I was first seeing Susan, I wanted to be right. There's certain things for me to look right. I needed to cover certain things up. If I had a pimple on my lip, I would cover it up with some makeup. If I my hair wasn't how I thought it should be, I would cover it up or cut it off. I would have a shave. I would wear certain clothes to cover up certain things so that I looked presentable, so that I looked right, so I could be right for that person. But the righteousness that we're talking about biblically, isn't to be right with someone else, it's to be right with God. And there are things in our lives that need covering up. If you go back to Genesis again with Adam and Eve, they sinned and they suddenly realized they were naked and they needed to cover their shame in order to be right with God. They were right with God before they sinned, but after they sinned, they needed to cover their shame. And so to be righteous in the kingdom language is to be right with God, to have a right standing with God. So we have that breastplate of righteousness. It's important for us as Christians to understand that. And if anyone listens to us in Grace as we preach or we minister or we teach, however you want to look at it, for you to be right with God, you need to cover up your sin. And this is where Jesus comes in. So it's foundational to us as Christians. To others that maybe don't understand, hopefully you'll glean some wisdom today. So let's look at Deuteronomy 6 verse 25. It says, "And if we are careful to obey all the law before the Lord, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." So we're talking here about a righteousness that was earned by obeying the law, not a righteousness that was given any other way. It had to be observed. It had to be earned. In verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. They were being instructed to follow the law that the Lord had given. And if we look back at the Old Testament, in order to really grab the revelation of what Jesus did for us, we need to understand the Old Testament. We need to understand that for God's people to be right, to be righteous with him, they needed to observe the law. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is life and life in all its fullness. Now, to be right with God, if you can follow all the law, look through the Old Testament, if you can follow all of that law, you don't need Jesus. But the truth is, you can't. Nobody can. It's impossible. It's impossible. But there was a sacrificial system that was put in place so that the sins that were committed by God's people could be washed away and they could be righteous. They could have a right standing with God. And staying with Deuteronomy 4:13, he declared to you his covenant, the old covenant, the Ten Commandments. And many of us, we know the Ten Commandments. We grew up with the Ten Commandments, and it's impossible to keep the Ten Commandments, isn't it? That's why there needed to be the shedding of blood in order for God's people to be right with him. Because where that sacrifice came in, going right back to Genesis, where Adam and Eve sinned and they needed to be covered to cover their shame, their nakedness, they needed to be covered. Blood needed to be shed so that those skins could cover their shame. There needed to be a blood sacrifice. So for you and I, if we don't fully understand how we become righteous with God, then the devil so easily will come and attack our hearts. That's why we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness, I believe. That's where we need to understand afresh what God has already done for us and the armour that he's given us. In Romans 9, verse 13, what then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith, but the people of Israel who pursued the law as a way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Now, what Paul is saying here is, I've observed the Old Testament law. So are you telling me that all those people that tried to obtain righteousness by following the law hasn't got it, but the Gentiles who don't know God, they've received it by faith? 32. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. So what Paul is saying here, this righteousness that God has told us to put on is not received by our works. It's received by his works. It's not received by what we believe we can do. It's received by believing what he has done. It's by faith. But as if it were by works, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. Talking about Jesus here, saying that, you know, the Old Testament people or the Jewish people, they stumbled over the stumbling stone, which is Jesus. As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him. So you need to understand this portion of scripture. The rock and the stumbling stone is Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on to say, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Remember what I was saying about the covering of our shame. To be right with God, we need to have our shame covered. Our sin needs to be covered. It needs to be atoned for. So the breastplate of righteousness is a breastplate that we receive by faith, believing that it's a gift that God has given us. And we put that on spiritually so that when the enemy comes to attack our hearts, he won't be able to. He'll try to attack us, but he won't be able to. Because if we are not trying to be right with God by our works, and we're right with God by faith, that breastplate stays in place. It's not what we've done, it's what he's done for us. Do you realize you've stumbled? Yes, I've stumbled, but God picks me up. Do you realize that you've sinned? Yes, I've sinned, but God forgives me. Do you realize that you have a blemish and a blot? Yes, but God's wiped away that blemish and that blot. God sees me through the eyes of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has washed me in his blood. I now have that breastplate of righteousness. I am right with God, not because I've tried to cover up my own sins by my own works, but because I've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. So I'm right with God because of what Jesus has done for me. And that's the truth for us as Christians. Simple, isn't it? But I believe that we, as we put on that breastplate afresh in the mornings and we leave it there, as we put that on, when the enemy strikes, he won't be able to penetrate. That's why it's a simple message today, but hopefully a message that will just remind us to be mindful of what God is doing in our lives and what he's done for us. So when we think about the spiritual armor, we have to come in truth. You know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth and the life. You can't have life without knowing the way. And Jesus is that way. And that's the truth, because we can't get to God any other way than through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that. So the truth we have on is buckled around our waist. We have the breastplate that comes over our shoulders and it protects the whole upper area of our body. It protects our heart. It protects the emotional side of who we are. That if we look at life by our own imperfections, we'll never be right. How many of you have tried to be right with someone else? What I mean by that is when someone else looks at you, you don't want them to see your imperfections, so you cover them up. Whether it's with makeup, whether it's a wig, whether it's with clothes, whether it's putting on certain shoes, whether it's talking in a certain accent. If there's something about you that you don't like and you don't want someone else to see that part of you, you cover it up. But it's only temporary, isn't it? Because you know what the real you is like. See, but from the Christian perspective, we don't need to cover anything up. We don't need to be anyone other than who God has created us to be. You, as a Christian, are right with God because of who he is, not because of who you are. You're right with God because of what Jesus has done, so you just need to accept it. You don't need to work for it, you need to receive it. And that's the gospel, that's the truth of God's word. That's where the way and the truth and the life comes together, because when we trust Jesus Christ, when we trust him, when we believe that he has done what the Bible says he has done, he has covered our nakedness, we are hidden with him, then we have a right standing. We're righteous. That's not the negative side of being righteous. That's the positive side of being righteous. We have a right standing with God. That's what it means. Brothers and sisters, in Romans 10:10, brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. Paul is passionate about his people. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness of God and sought to establish their own. You see, when you look through these scriptures, when you listen to Paul's teaching, he's so wise here. He said God had presented them a righteousness that was found by faith in him. But they didn't want that. They tried to find a righteousness of their own. And that so often, sadly, is what people do. And sadly, sometimes it's what some Christians do. Christ is enough. But we live at times where Christ isn't enough for some people. It's Christ and philosophy. It's Christ and the counsellor. It's Christ and something else. Christ is enough. We did not submit to God's righteousness. They did not submit to God's righteousness. They tried to obtain a righteousness of their own. Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. This answers the question. If we can't live out the law, then how do we become righteous? Well, Paul has answered it here. Jesus Christ became the culmination. He became the fulfillment of the law, so that in Christ we find our righteousness. For who? For everybody who believes. That's you and I. So one of the tactics of the devil, of the enemy, of his hordes and people who are anti-Christ, one of their tactics is to attack the heart. It's to attack the emotions. It's to attack the very soul of who we are. It's to attack us. And God has said through his word, I'm giving you a protection, and it's a breastplate of righteousness. So when anyone comes against you and they say that you can't, in Christ you can. When they say you're not, in Christ you are. You've been covered. Your sins have been forgiven. So to be righteous is to be in Christ. It's to believe that he has obtained it through his death and resurrection. In verse 5, Moses writes this about righteousness. That it is by the law. The person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But in verse 8, but what does it say? The word is near you. The word is in your mouth. The word is in your heart. That's what needs to be protected. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. In verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all. And he richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's with our mouth and our heart that we declare. That's why it's important for us to put that breastplate on and protect our hearts. Protect what God has given us. He's given us spiritual armor for spiritual battle. Let's wear it. Let's be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. My final scripture is in Romans 3, verse 19. We'll start. And it says this, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, in verse 20, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by works. You can't earn it. You have to receive it. You can't earn it. You have to receive it. You can't cover up your imperfections. Your imperfections have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. You can't do it by what you do. You can only receive it by what he's done. Start at verse 20 again. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. When we look through at the love of the Lord your God with all your heart, when we look through at the Ten Commandments, do not disobey God, do not do these things, then our conscience portrays our sinfulness. That's by the law, but we can't be made righteous by the law. In verse 21, but now apart from the law, put the law to one side, the righteousness, this is the breastplate we're talking about, of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So if you believe, this has been given to you. Take it today, put it on. Protect your heart. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, for all have sinned. All of us have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one, outside of Jesus Christ. By trying to earn our salvation, none of us are righteous, is what the Bible says. None of us are justified. None of us have been set apart. However, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 24. And all are justified freely by his grace, undeserved favour, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. Faith to believe that Jesus is who God says he is. Faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. Verse 26. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Justifies, just as if I'd never sinned at all. If the wages of sin is death, then when we're justified, that debt has been paid. And the main reason for wearing that breastplate of righteousness isn't so that we can become superior. It's so that we can become aware and protect the very heart that God has given us, a heart for him, a heart that remains soft and not hardened. When we take that breastplate off, when we don't stand, work, breathe, and realize by faith that we've been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, our hearts can become hardened. So we become hardened to God's word, hardened to God's people, hardened to God's revelation, hardened to God's truth. And the enemy comes in and he attacks. So it's important, Christian, that we keep that breastplate on so that you know whatever you do and whatever you don't do, put your trust in Christ Jesus. Keep that breastplate on and keep that heart soft and supple. Remember, he is the potter. We are the clay. In order for the clay to be molded and shaped, it needs to be soft and supple. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your belt of truth, and we thank you for your breastplate of righteousness. We thank you that we've been made right with you through the death and the resurrection and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you that our sins have been forgiven and washed away. Thank you, Lord, that we are right with you and you cover our shame. We ask you to bless us and enable us and anoint us and equip us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.